Hello and welcome to my house in Cork, Ireland. I was recently one of the panelists on a discussion about podcasting. Here are some of the views that I gave during the panel discussion.
Hello and welcome to Toastmasters Unplugged, podcasts and podiums. Tonight we're thinking a lot about podcasts and the podiums we use at Toastmasters. I have three wonderful guests. They are, in their own right, expert podcasters and wonderful people, and Toastmasters to boot: Paul O'Mahony, Gavin Gallagher, and Kevin O'Reilly. Hello. Tonight we delve deep into the world of podcasts and podcasting. We're Toastmasters, but we're going to be talking about podcasting. Paul O'Mahony is a writer and a host with Irish Talkers podcast. Gavin Gallagher is host of Behind the Facade, mental and emotional game in real estate. Kevin O'Reilly, is his new podcast is called My Worst Interview Ever. Starting with Paul.
I live in Cork, Ireland now, from Limerick, spent some years in Dublin, went to the UK for 30 years and came to Cork in 2005. My first experience of using audio podcasting was 2007 on a platform called Audio Boo. I took it up in 2007. I was a writer before, but I decided I would try using my voice. 3,500 episodes later on Audio Boom, I got a bit of experience in. That, I suppose, is why I got into it, as a bit of an experiment. I never acted on a stage, you see. It probably felt to me like a poor man's opportunity to use his voice on one type of stage.
Artificial intelligence in podcasting, yes or no, and why?
I haven't a clue.
When I come back to you.
Can I phone a friend? I use artificial intelligence for other reasons, but I haven't yet mastered the art of getting two people to talk to each other with the simulated voice from artificial intelligence. I've heard it done. Can be very convincing. Truthfully, never tried it for that purpose.
Okay, so in the widest sense of using AI and your podcasting, same question. Another quickfire for Paul. Does your Toastmastering help you in your podcasting? So one help.
Oh, the podcasting has helped my impromptu speaking enormously. It's also helped my half-prepared speeches, because on Irish Talkers, every couple of weeks, I do a slot of about 12 minutes long on a topic that I choose. And I don't use any artificial intelligence in order to tell me what my topic is. Like the most recent one that I've recorded is all about the International Convention and about whether clubs are going to pay any attention to the recent letter from the international president, which urged clubs to set aside time to discuss the motions which will be decided on in August, and also to consider who are the candidates for international director. And I did that with nothing more than the first paragraph of her letter published in the Toastmaster magazine, which is a terrific source of topics if you want to, if you're stuck, if you like. But because I know the Toastmasters year very well, I can say, right, we're recording in May. This is going to go out at the end of June. The topic that needs to be covered is this. And that's the way I do it. Has Toastmasters helped me as a podcaster? It's helped me in one particular respect, which drives me mad, which is the superfluous sounds that I'm inclined to make, the unnecessary ands and and now, and sounds like that, which as a as an editor of the sound, I systematically go around cutting out because I, apart from the fact that I don't want myself to sound so boring as I can sound if I have lots of ums and ahs, but I also don't want guests on Irish Talkers to be embarrassed themselves by how frequently they use those sounds. And I can tell you, some of the best speakers in the world, when you have them on a podcast, if you were to put that out, you'd damage their reputation.
Starting now with Paul. Paul, you mentioned it earlier. You and I met through probably the Irish Twitter sphere, the Irish Twitter world, which was the community that was very supportive of the blogging community, probably prior to your podcasting. So I know you prior to your podcasting days. And tell us about that kind of journey from writing, publishing, blogging to audio blogging, podcasting.
Okay, I did a bit of writing at school. I enjoyed writing. I became a letter writer during the period of time when I was seeking romance. I went from there. I wrote letters. Yes, I'm a letter writer. I was a letter writer, and that was crazy. I used to keep copies of all the letters I wrote. That's another story, let's say. That's going back a long way now.
Unsolicited, unacquainted, or were they part of a, were
Oh,
they well received?
these were letters that were within a relationship. I've always been one for connecting with people in other places, a long way away. I had a long series of letters with somebody living in Arizona and a series of letters with. No, a girlfriend. A girlfriend I was hoping to meet when I went to Arizona. Similar thing with a Japanese woman who was living in Spain as an artist. So I'd write her letters. The really big thing was a mixture of becoming a poet in 1995. More relevant to podcasting was the birth of my daughter in 2005 and returning from the UK to Ireland. So I, in blogging terms, I set out to chronicle what it was like for an Irish father to bring a very young baby back to Ireland. And that was like remigrating, or whatever I used to call it, back to Ireland. So I did an awful lot of blog posts, so usually about three or four a day. Then I got into experimenting when I heard of this very simple app. You could just tap, record yourself, and it would go up more or less automatically into a community. The first one I did was standing outside Frawley's pub in Lahinch, which is in the west of Ireland, a seaside village, a relatively famous pub, and recording sounds and talking about it there. And thus began a journey making so many short podcast episodes, it's almost embarrassing. Well, I've never, apart from a few times, read something that I've written. I have written something that I have spoken because I record podcast episodes while walking the dog, and I will prepare speeches while talking to myself while walking the dog. In fact, it's much better than looking at a blank sheet of paper. Just turn on an audio recording, a recorder on your phone, and talk as if you're talking to somebody. And one of my podcasts is very much a kind of personal diary, I've done two others, did a podcast called Business Jazz with my best friend Roger Overall for about 6 years, all about marketing business. And the two of us would just talk on that topic. The Irish Talkers podcast, on the other hand, is now recorded every 2 weeks, and there's one episode goes out each week, and one of the episodes is an interview, and the other is a kind of a magazine show. 2015, podcasting has no connection whatsoever with Toastmasters in those days at all. I didn't come to Toastmasters to practice podcasting. I'd already done enough of it, really. I'd done a huge amount. I had plenty of confidence about producing podcast episodes because I've never had to think of what will the episode be about. I do almost no preparation if I'm going to do an interview with somebody other than asking them some kind of a opening question and then working from what they have said. Oh, look, every episode, as far as I'm concerned, is just practice for the really good one I'm going to do in the future. So thousands of episodes later, I'm still looking forward to doing the best one. The biggest thing I'm learning, and I have learned, is about clutch words and stuff like that. It's so different from giving a speech, because there is an audience. It always in my mind. I'm always talking to an audience, just like I'm talking to you now, but I'm actually talking to the people who will watch this video, and I'm doing my best to make myself intelligible to future viewers or listeners. Table topics. Let's take table topics for a second. That's a quick answer to a question. And as you can see, I'm long-winded. So therefore, table topics helps me to be more succinct. How much has it helped me? I'm not sure.
In radio, they say the clock is the producer. So if you're operating up to the top of the next hour, that's going to decide what content is in or out. Does the clock, does the timekeeping of Toastmasters help you discipline your podcasting operations?
No, the person on Irish Talkers who disciplines me is the director, producer, editor, Moira O'Brien. And she will, we do it on Zoom. And we don't show the video. And she will do things like wave at me and say finish and all these kind of things. Now, we haven't had to produce a 1 hour episode which ends on the hour or even a half hour. And I haven't ever done one of those, although it would be a good challenge to have to do that. I'd love to have a radio show, Brian. Love it.
But just in the more maybe to keep you succinct and edited in the delivery in the first instance, does the clock, the timekeeping of Toastmasters help you in the delivery?
It should, although in my writing over the years, I greatly value short sentences. And short sentences are very powerful, especially when you're podcasting. So what I often do, not on my personal podcasts, but in the Irish Talkers podcast, I take out an awful lot of ands, the conjunctions that are awful and weaken what you're saying.
Should Toastmasters in our district do more with podcasting to promote the best kept secrets around Toastmasters International?
Yes. First of all, a bit of practice by senior leaders, division directors and area directors and even club presidents would help. At the moment, there isn't any Toastmasters club podcast. And the crazy thing is that we have prepared speeches at club meetings all the time. We have topics at club meetings all the time. It is ever so simple to record these, even the audio version of it. Produce episodes. You would need to produce them at a certain frequency, same time, regularly. There is one club in the UK that I helped to start a podcast. It's called the Shilling Speakers Podcast. They have been keeping up a podcast. It must be 3 or 4 years in now. There are a number of clubs around the world, Toastmasters clubs, which have podcasts. And there also are some districts that have a podcast. The one that could be a great example to people if they listen to it more, which is the Toastmaster podcast, which is hosted by Greg Gazin. Terrific episode, the latest one. Great episode in where he's interviewing a person who works at Harvard, who will have a magazine article soon about the topic of talking. Well worth a listen.
Before I move on to Gavin, your work ethic, you mentioned the frequency of a podcast. How do you apply the discipline that you might learn through Toastmasters and the discipline, the work ethic to publishing podcasts? And maybe that comes from your writing. What is your work ethic?
The first thing you promise when you apply to join Toastmasters is you promise to attend club meetings regularly. The first element of the Toastmasters promise. Similarly, in podcasting, you ideally would promise your community to whom you are talking or delivering messages, you would promise to produce an episode every month, fortnight, week, daily, whatever it is. It's difficult to recover from being unpredictable.
I think there is really something about the power of a publishing date, a publishing time, and sticking to it, because it disciplines the creator and it forms habits for the listeners to pick up on.